The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis, Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. A federal judge has reinstated an Obama-era moratorium on coal leasing on federal lands.
The moratorium was imposed under former President Obama and then scuttled under former President Trump. The Biden administration is now reviewing the ruling, which requires government officials to complete a new environmental review of the leasing program before they can resume coal sales. With coal demand shrinking, few leases were sold in recent years. However, state officials from Wyoming and Montana argued against reviving the moratorium. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Author Salman Rushdie has been taken off a ventilator and is able to talk a couple days after being stabbed as he prepared to give a lecture in New York. His agent says he's got a long way to go and has serious injuries, but seems to be a little bit on the mend. This is SRN News.
Sideline Sanity with Michelle Tafoya.
The teachers are instructed to deliver a different message to parents and a different message to kids. And the message to kids is always, you know, don't share with your parents. Parents many times are completely in the dark, going back to the issue of Marxism, communism, breaking the family. They're succeeding in that regard.
Sideline Sanity at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Hey, good morning. You're heading to the airport, right?
Yep, thanks for checking. I like the car. How long have you been a rideshare driver?
About 3 years now, but I really enjoy it.
Isn't it hard to make money these days with the price of gas being so high?
Not for me. I use Upside, the free app that gives you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get real money back when you get gas with the Upside app?
Yep, I get real cash back every time I get gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200 to $300.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code VAN for a $5 bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank account, PayPal, or gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code VAN for a $5 bonus on your first tank. That's code VAN.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. I start every day by reading through the stories at Daybreak Insider. In just 10 minutes, I can zip through 10 stories that matter, 10 stories that help me start my day and help shape where I go with the Mike Gallagher Show. You and I know the mainstream media is filling the airwaves with a left-wing take on the news of the day.
This is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
It's critical to find a news source that tells the truth. Well, that's Daybreak Insider. Daybreak Insider is that source. I get it in my mailbox every day. It helps shape the stories I bring to you. It's a look at today's most compelling stories, how they are covered by the media, and provides responses from key conservatives in media and politics. Over a 250,000 people get Daybreak Insider by email daily, and it's available to you at no cost. Go to DaybreakInsider.com and simply plug in your email. That's DaybreakInsider.com. In 5 minutes, you will be the most informed person in the office. That's DaybreakInsider.com.
I'm sure glad you're my sister, Addie.
Yep, you my best buddy.
Mom says you were their little surprise. What would we do without you?
Well, you'll probably get your own gum.
Yeah, that's true, but you're worth it.
Hello, my name is Carrie. I work with Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives to abortion or needs post-abortion assistance or would like to support the life-saving work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or check us out online at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America. Educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. BearingArms.com covers Second Amendment issues, self-defense, the latest gear, and more. That's BearingArms.com.
Soaking up the sun in Fiji, walking through the sculpture garden in Minneapolis, or standing in awe at the Grand Canyon. We're where you are. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
It's time for the World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. Here now is your host, Al Malmberg.
Thanks, Doc. This morning, we're going to talk with the drummer of the Burt Compton Band, Burt Compton himself. Not only is he still a heck of a drummer, but has over 8,700 hours in his logbook, including 5,000 in gliders. He's flown 67 different types of gliders at 93 soaring sites around the world. He also gives FAA check rides all over the country. Bert, welcome to the world of aviation.
Thank you, Alan. Good to be here.
I tried to open up the link that was on the AOPA article that was featuring you. Yeah. And the link had you drumming, but I was unable to open it up. I was going to use it for our bumper music this morning, going from segment to segment. You're a heck of a drummer, and you're still doing it. Are you playing in a band at all these days?
No, I'm pretty much retired out here in Marfa, Texas. I'm primarily a singing drummer. You don't see too many of those around, but I've been a singer since 1964, my first professional gig. But about the same time, I grew up on a glider port south of Miami, Florida. And I was a very lucky kid to be surrounded by some of the legends of aviation and soaring down there in Miami at my dad's glider port.
You know, the Burt Compton Band, you guys must have been really, really good to be the lead-in act for Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah. Grand Funk Railroad, Deep Purple, Rod Stewart, the Guess Who from Canada. We didn't hang with them. We didn't go to the store or hotel room or anything. And my band was very straight. Guys, and I'm just saying we were privileged to be invited as the big dog band in South Florida to be the opening act, which is a tough gig when you have to go up before those guys.
Yeah.
But we were generally well accepted, and we had some recordings and a bunch of fans down there. But that was a long time ago, early 70s.
I would think that what's even tougher is if you're better than the band that you're the lead in for.
Well, let's put it this way. We were straighter than the bands we were looking for. And Miami, especially for the British bands, that was their first stop on BOAC over from London, was Miami. Mm-hmm. It was generally their first gig, so they had some glitches and some electrical problems, as you well know about. Yeah. But anyway, it was a privilege, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I got to thank you for your patience because you were supposed to be on last week and we had a technical glitch where we could not connect between my studio in the barn in Colorado and the studio in Minneapolis. And I thank you very, very much for your flexibility in coming on today. I do appreciate it. How old were you when you started flying?
Well, I grew up on that glider port south of Miami. I imagine I was riding around with my dad in the Cub around 1955 or 6. And same thing in the glider. I'd be sitting in the back seat. But he was soaring for his fun down there. But he would ask me, which cloud do we go to next? Where's the next thermal? Which way are we drifting? And all this basic aviator observations that are so important to a glider pilot or any pilot. Get your eyes out of the cockpit, see what the clouds are doing, see what the drift is, where the heck is my next destination. And don't rely totally on electronics. Of course, back in the 50s, 60s, and even the 70s, we didn't have all that stuff. We do now. We have GPS in the gliders, and helps us find the airport if we're going cross country. So.
Yeah. I don't know anything about gliders. I took a Discovery flight in a glider, and I was shocked when I had mentioned that the private strip that I fly out of for powered aircraft was about five miles east of a glider runway, a glider port, I guess you'd call it. And you went, oh, that'd be Owl Canyon. And I was shocked that you knew that.
Well, the reason is I have been I developed a program for the Soaring Safety Foundation, the training and safety arm of the Soaring Society of America. Soaring Safety Foundation, I developed a program after visiting Sweden where they have a program that goes around to the glider ports and evaluates their good ideas, and if they have bad ideas, they offer solutions. Here in America, we can't close down a glider port, and it's by the glider club or glider operations invitation to invite me out. I've done 129 site surveys from New England to the far west coast. And so Owl Canyon years ago invited me to come out and evaluate their operation. You mentioned I've been 93 places around the world as I've flown. So I picked up a lot of good ideas of how they do it there, and I make suggestions so they can unravel their procedures and their training and safety culture. And I'm always learning. I don't know it all, but I'm open to, you know, help people out. And the main reason is it helps them with their insurance. There's a very small aspect of aviation insurance that insures gliders, tow planes, and the glider ports themselves for the premise insurance. And you know, if they have a lot of small incidents, they break a canopy or knock over a runway edge light line, the insurance underwriters are going to start wondering when's the big thing going to happen. And that's what I try to help them with. It's a friendly visit, and it's free to the clubs, sponsored by the Soaring Safety Foundation.
Wow. You know, you brought something up about insurance, and anybody who owns an airplane knows how the insurance rates have really gone up. I mean, I don't know if I want to use the term skyrocket, because it certainly go higher, but it's gone up. And I don't think private aviation has been safer any time in the history of flight. Do you have any ideas why insurance rates have gone up so dramatically?
Well, the gliders that used to be $10,000, brand new gliders out of Schweitzer in Elmira, the only American manufacturer. And of course, they're long gone. But the German gliders, to import one, the last couple I brought in, one was $120,000, and another one was $220,000.
Wow!
Fiberglass, carbon fiber, some with a self-launch engine or a sustainer engine. They're very, very expensive, and of course, the people selling them over in Germany, the more famous manufacturers such as Schleicher, Schimpert, DG, it's a small market around the world. So, and they're all hand-built, and they're beautiful. We're getting 60, 70 to 1 glide ratios out of these monsters with wingspans of anywhere from 15 meters to 22 meters, which is about 100 feet. So the 26 meters would be about 100 feet. So the point is, it's a small market that they're in, and they're very expensive, and because they're hand-built and carbon fiber ain't cheap. And then on our end, the insurance company is such a small market for them. Now, the Soaring Society of America has developed a program, an insurance program for the members of the Soaring Society of America that does bring the rates down. And it was only last year that they had to bump them up a little bit. And so... they're getting expensive, and of course, if you're giving rides and to the general public, if there's an injury, it's not just the cost of the glider. We end up with some serious claims. Lately, we haven't seen the injury to the passengers. Everyone's been very, very careful about it. Of course, we're all FAA rated, either private, commercial, or CFIG, glider. So. I guess that's the reason. You know, everything's gone up. I just had to raise my rates at first time after 11 years, just enough to cover the little bit of you know, people ask me, how much is gas for your tow plane there at Marfa Airport, Texas? And I go, I don't know. What am I going to do? Stop flying? I've got to keep doing this.
Yeah.
It's what I do well, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my aspect of it.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break and then we'll come back. And I'll, you know, the one thing that we've, in fact, I can't think of the last time that I heard about a glider plane accident or an accident involving gliders. It's so rare. And I'm thinking that flying gliders is safer than flying motorized aircraft, and we'll get your take on that. We're speaking with Bert Compton, and he has had Marfa gliders in Marfa, Texas, for a long time, and grew up around gliders when he was growing up in Florida. You're listening to The World of Aviation, brought to you by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
In today's world, time is precious, and Thunderbird Aviation is here to save it by offering world-class charter services for you to avoid planning an entire travel day for a two-hour flight. Skip the airport trips and long security lines by chartering a flight to your next family or business destination. Thunderbird's charter flights allows you to avoid crowded airports and adjust your departure. Visit ThunderbirdAviation.com to request a quote or email charter at ThunderbirdAviation.com today.
Has your work-life balance taken a toll by working from home? The Eden 100 building has exactly what you need to reestablish your work-life balance. Affordable office leases available immediately in a private office setting. The Eden 100 building will provide you an opportunity to separate your 9-to-5 from the family and get back into a healthy routine. Conveniently located off Eden Avenue and Highway 100. For details and showings, contact property management at 952-767-0327. That's 952-767-0327.
Are you a real estate investor looking to refinance one or more of your properties? Most lenders only work with cookie-cutter W-2 borrowers. At Cash Call Mortgage, we have loans designed specifically for investment properties. We qualify customers based on the cash flow from the investment property. Borrowers can get up to $2.5 million. That's right, $2.5 million. No tax returns or employment verification needed for our investment property loans, and absolutely no lender or broker fees. If you're a real estate investor looking to refinance a mortgage on one or more of your investment properties, give Cash Call Mortgage a try. To see if you qualify, visit cashcallmortgage.com or call now, 800-940-7998. That's 800-940-7998. 800-940-7998.
Cash Call Mortgage is a DBA of Impact Mortgage Corp. NMLS ID 128231. Not all applicants will qualify. Equal housing lender. Licensed by California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 4131083. Not licensed in all states including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions or visit cashcallmortgage.com.
The aviation industry is hiring, meaning there is no time like the present to start your career in aviation. This is Al Malmberg. Academy College supports you while you make your dreams come true. Earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business, IT, or aviation. Choose career-specific courses that enhance your knowledge in your chosen field. If aviation is your calling, enroll in the Commercial Pilot, Aviation Management, or the only FAA-approved dispatch course in the entire state of Minnesota. Academy College makes the college transition easy. You have the flexibility to attend courses in person or virtually to fit your schedule. Academy College offers small class sizes, hands-on instruction, and a competitive atmosphere to ensure you graduate as a true competitor in the marketplace. Live up to your potential, reach your dreams, and do it all with Academy's support. Start by emailing admissions at academycollege.edu or call 952-851-0066.
Next quarter begins October 3rd.
You're listening to The World of Aviation. Bert Compton is our guest, and he has been flying gliders for a long time. He has over 87 hours in his logbook. 5,000 of those hours are in gliders, and he's an FAA examiner as well. Bert, you mentioned thermals, and going from Minnesota, where I grew up, to Colorado, the flying is a tad different out here because we have the mountain waves and everything else.
I keep a wary eye out for lenticular clouds because I know if it's there, it's going to be bumpy, and I'm not going to take my wife up because she does not like bumpy. You mentioned the thermals. How can you tell when you're up in a glider where a thermal might be to give you some altitude?
Well, there's many ways, and the basic old-school aviator way is the observation. If you're relatively low after you release from tow, you look at objects on the ground, areas on the ground, such as a Walmart parking lot, a guaranteed thermal coming off of that. But you're also looking for the downdrafts that surround thermals. It's like a fountain in the mall. The air goes up in a very narrow column and spills down around it. That's what we call the sink. So the thermal, you'll go through the sink to get to the thermal. And when you're low, you want to avoid lakes and forests and things like that. Once you're up high, you shift your gaze to the clouds above, if there are clouds. Out west, sometimes we have what we call blue thermals, that not enough moisture is drawn up with the thermal to condense up there and produce a cumulus cloud. So if you have clouds, you kind of bump from one to another, zig and zag. We don't always fly in a straight line. But the clouds are generally the history that the thermal has brought moisture up, and sometimes the thermal quits. There's only so much solar radiation on the ground that causes the air just above the ground to get warm and less dense and then rise through the column, a narrow column. So we circle fairly tight. Usually 45-degree bank is what we need to do to stay in that narrow. Imagine a smoke column, and this column leaning with the wind aloft. That's how narrow some of these thermals can be. And we got yesterday I was getting 800 to 900 feet a minute up. And a really, really strong thermal will peg the instrument. The instrument also tells you. An instrument called a variometer. It's a very fast vertical speed indicator. It is also connected to a compensator that gets rid of stick thermals. In other words, if you're cruising in the glider or an airplane, you pull back, and by golly, the VSI goes up. Well, this compensates through many ways, usually by a venturi tube, small venturi tube, that senses the speed change. Therefore, it keeps the variometer reading what the outside air is doing. That's the short version of a lot of physics there. But yeah, it allows you to cruise, and if you come through, you feel a little bump, if you were to pull back, you'd think you're in a super thermal, but maybe it's just a 200 feet a minute or 500 feet a minute thermal just. And of course, when you circle in it, with a low sink rate of the gliders being close to 100 feet per minute, you can go right up faster than the tow plane can tow you up, that's for sure. In fact, the highest and the furthest I've flown is, well, not the highest I've ever flown, I've always been in a glider. I've gotten to 22,000 feet because I have a wave window with ATC here over the Davis Mountains just north of Marshall. So thermals, there's three ways. Thermals, lenticular clouds marked wave, and, of course, ridge soaring on the windward side of a ridge. You carefully go back and forth. That puts you pretty close to the ground, though. So thermal soaring is generally the best way to get around.
In this article that I was reading about you talk about Marfa Municipal Airport, where you fly out of, is great for gliders. Why is that? Is it because you've got a lot of thermals in that area for some reason?
Yes, year-round. We fly year-round here. And we're well away from any controlled airspace, towered airspace, which, you know, the guys around Miami, Atlanta, Reno, Chicago have to carry transponders. We don't have to carry transponders. We're not electrical system. We use batteries to run our radio. And we're very, even though the gliders have a right-of-way in the air, except for a hot air balloon, we're very cognizant of where the other aircraft are, and we listen on the radio if they'll call us. Unfortunately, most airplane pilots, jet pilots, charter pilots don't remember the right-of-way rules. So sometimes we have to remind them, let us land first and things like that. Of course, even though we have the right-of-way, like a sailboat has a right-of-way over a cruise ship, but you don't want to be dead right. So
because
we're looking outside all the time for clues, in other words, dust devils, birds, soaring birds that aren't flapping, things like that, we're looking around at what's going on outside. Compare it to sailing a boat versus a motorboat. And that doesn't mean we're better pilots, but we need to look. We look around a lot. The cliche is becoming a glider pilot will make you a better pilot.
Yeah.
Correctly, let me elaborate on that. That means we're more aware of which way the wind's blowing. We don't have to call a tower to ask where the wind is. We're watching cloud shadows below us to see the winds aloft, which is often different from what they are on the ground. Mm-hmm. And it makes you a better pilot in the sense you make accuracy landings. Of course, people say, how do you land without a motor? Well, most everybody from big jets to your Piper Cubs, we throttle back and glide in, don't we? So the most difficult aspect of learning to fly gliders is flying the tow. 200-foot rope behind another airplane. It puts out a wake like a boat in that ocean of air. And that's the hardest thing for me to teach and the hardest thing to learn. Once you're off tow, it's just another glider, another airplane, really.
How long, what altitude are you at when you generally release the cable?
Well, Marfa is 5,000 feet, similar to where you are in Colorado there. We're 5,000 feet MSL, and therefore we're a little cooler and certainly a lot drier than the rest of the east of us. But that would be 7,000 feet MSL, and we generally release at that altitude, often because we can hit a thermal and go up faster than the tow plane can pull us up at 600 feet per minute. And saves gas on the tow plane, too.
Yeah.
So we go up, and then yesterday we were soaring around at about 11,500. And I loaned my single-seat glider to a good friend, Chad Willie, a well-known aircraft restorer and former chief pilot at Old Rhinebeck in New York. Nevertheless, I loaned it to him. He flew about a little over 200 miles to Big Spring, Texas, by way of Odessa yesterday, just bumping the clouds. And I had the trailer for the glider because the wings come off relatively easily on purpose. And I was there when he landed, and he had a marvelous flight, about 6 hours. And
wow,
bumping up 12,000 feet. Yes, we carry oxygen. That's essential. Keeps you alert.
How about the ADS-B in and out? Do you have that on your plane at all?
We don't need it.
Lighter. You don't need it, but would you like to have it so you could see other aircraft?
Well, we don't need it. It would be a battery-powered thing, and we don't have an alternator on board unless you're a motor glider, which is, looks like an airplane anyway.
Right.
It's a darn good idea. There's another device called FLARM, which they started using in Europe, in Switzerland, and along the Alps. But the other glider has to have a FLARM unit in it, and that works really well. It shows you the direction and altitude of where the other glider might be, especially flying the Alps of the Swiss Alps and the Bavarian Alps. These guys are whistling along close to the on the north side of the Alps usually, and it's essentially see each other. We do have some of us use transponders around the Chicago, Reno, high-density areas near Class B. We're not required to carry a transponder, and we can even, through my wave window, don't need a transponder to go above 18,000 MSL. But we're very, very careful about that. We're hard to see. This low profile of a sailplane or glider is very, very difficult to see. And we're more concerned about each other because we tend to flock like birds. One guy finds a thermal, starts cranking around in a tight bank. His wings will flash in the sun. They're usually white with fiberglass.
Mm-hmm.
It's very polished gel coat. And, boy, we see another guy out ahead a couple miles. We all turn and go for him. And then you're looking around for the other gliders converging on him. But ADS-B is a wonderful thing. I have a friend with a motor glider just installed the wingtip type units, and it's pretty neat.
So you know, when I take off, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We have a discrete transponder code with ATC across the nation of 1202, not 1200. And that'll show the controllers there's a glider up there. We're so far from Albuquerque Center and any Class B airspace. We have El Paso and Odessa Midland as Class C, but we're so far off airways, and that's another reason Marfa was always attractive out here. We can go far, we can go high, and never be close to a towered airport. Now, we have radio, and we have a chart, and we have frequencies, and we certainly call them and say, and perhaps we might even need to land at Midland, Odessa, for instance. And the controllers are generally really happy. Wow, this is different. We're going to have a glider land. And so the usual Southwest Airlines, something new is happening today. And many of them are very familiar with the gliders. They're great guys, the tower controllers.
I'll tell you, Bert, one of the things that I do when I'm starting my run-up prior to takeoff is Owl Canyon Glider Port. They use the 123.300 frequency on the tow planes. And I always tune in to see what's happening with the gliders just to my west. And if I hear glider activity, I know the thermals are good. But one thing that I've found since moving out here and flying is that the tow planes, these pilots are the most courteous pilots I think I've ever dealt with. And we talk back and forth quite a bit, and I let them know that I appreciate letting the rest of us know where they are in the Owl Canyon area, and they're just really, really courteous, and that's how you keep everything safe, is when you have pilots like that. Bert, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll get your thoughts on that last comment that he just made, but we've got to take a break. Bert Compton is our guest, not only a heck of a drummer with the Bert Compton Band, but he's been flying gliders for a long, long time. He's logged in his logbook 8,700 hours, which 5,000 of those are in gliders. And he's flown 67 different types of gliders so far. And he's been at 93 soaring sites around the world. A lot of experience under his belt. You're listening to The World of Aviation, brought to you by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494. And by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is the World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
In today's world, time is precious, and Thunderbird Aviation is here to save it by offering world-class charter services for you to avoid planning an entire travel day for a two-hour flight. Skip the airport trips and long security lines by chartering a flight to your next family or business destination. Thunderbird's charter flights allows you to avoid crowded airports and adjust your departure. Visit ThunderbirdAviation.com to request a quote or email charter@ThunderbirdAviation.com today.
Has your work-life balance taken a toll by working from home? The Eden 100 building has exactly what you need to reestablish your work-life balance. Affordable office leases available immediately in a private office setting. The Eden 100 building will provide you an opportunity to separate your 9-to-5 from the family and get back into a healthy routine. Conveniently located off Eden Avenue and Highway 100. For details and showings, contact property management at 952-767-0327. That's 952-767-0327.
Sightseeing in Paris, at the mall in Bloomington, or on horseback in Dallas. We're where you are. Listen to AM 1280, The Patriot, at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
Cold shower send to chill up your spine? You better get Champion Plumbing on the line. They'll install a water heater today and your freezing and sneezing will all go away. Tankless, electric, conventional gas, a certified pro will put it in fast. Keep your water heater in top-notch condition. Make a regular appointment with your Champion technician. Call Champion Plumbing for emergency and same-day water heater replacement for the entire metro. Check out hundreds of five-star reviews at championplumbing.net. That's championplumbing.net.
Have you lost your gun rights due to an old criminal offense? Have you been denied a permit to carry or a purchase of a firearm? I'm attorney Kelly Keegan, and I can help. Schedule a free consultation at KeeganLawOffice.com. That's K-E-E-G-A-N LawOffice.com.
Al Momberg here for Thunderbird Aviation, located at Crystal Airport and Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie. Thunderbird offers scenic flights and introductory flight lessons to get you up in the air, flight training for the future pilot, and fueling and maintenance for the aircraft owner. Thunderbird Aviation is dedicated to providing superior service to its customers, and this is abundantly clear with their charter flights. Looking to take a trip with the family or make a business event and would like to avoid the hassle of long security lines? Thunderbird provides world-class service to anywhere in the U.S. and Canada and lets you pick the Twin Cities airport to depart from, making travel day efficient and easy. With a COVID-conscious travel environment that meets all CDC guidelines to ensure safety for passengers, have Thunderbird be the one that gets you where you need to go by emailing charter@thunderbirdaviation.com or by calling 952-941-1212. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Bert Compton is our guest. He flies out of Marfa Municipal Airport in Texas, and he has a glider school at Marfa and has been teaching for a long time. In fact, Bert travels around not only the country but the world helping others out and giving check rides for the FAA here in this country. Before the break, Bert, I had mentioned how courteous tow pilots are, and they always let us know when they're coming in or going out of the Owl Canyon glider port. Is that common around the country, around the world?
Yes, I think so. Tow pilots enjoy what they do. They're usually glider rated, of course, and there are FAA-specific requirements to be a glider tow pilot, and you have to renew every 24 months in some way your endorsement. It's an endorsement. It's not a rating. But nevertheless, the other thing is tow pilots know that the right-of-way rules require that all aircraft avoid an airplane towing a glider, and for that matter, a refueling operation. But anything that's being towed in the air has the right-of-way. And that's kind of an obscure part of the right-of-way rules that many aviators don't know. And so that's why they like to make contact with you. And that's what we do here at Marfa in Southwest Texas. We talk to the charter jets that might come in once in a while, bringing the rich and famous to our resort nearby. they're quite happy to hear from us. And, of course, we're on the chart with a glider symbol and in the airport facilities directory, now known as the chart supplement, that little green book. So, yeah, we want people to know we're there. And, in fact, our radio calls for tow playing are tow plane, November such and such, glider in tow, and to alert the transient pilot, perhaps, that has not caught the NOTAM or the read the book or chart, that there is a glider operation. So we prefix often tow plane, Cessna, you know, such and such, or glider such and such, just to alert everybody. And it makes everybody comfortable, I think.
What is the, when you're being towed and you're going up, well, where else would you be going? What is the rate of climb once you leave the runway?
Typically about 500 to 600-700 feet a minute. Now, I mentioned earlier, around the thermal updrafts is sinking air. So sometimes we've encountered such a strong sink that we'll be in the climb attitude, but our net is zero or even negative. Most of the time, the glider pilots being glider pilots, will sense where the thermals might be. You know, tow me over that, we're back over the airport with all the concrete and asphalt. That's always a good thermal generator. It's hotter than the surrounding area. And so we'll circle back over the airport. Sure enough, we'll feel the bump. I'll see the tow plane go up first, and then about a second and a half later, we come up. So it is a bit of an up and down roller coaster ride, but not that bad, but you have to be on the ball on the toe. And that's why I say it's probably the hardest thing for a new pilot to learn, even a transition pilot from airplanes. It's, you know, how many times have you been towed by another aircraft with a 200-foot rope?
Once.
But that's the FAA standard.
Yeah, yeah. Is the tow portion of the flight the most dangerous portion of the flight?
Yes, for the tow pilot. Let me explain. If the glider pilot, for any inattention, is not directly behind the tow plane, maybe fiddling with a radio or air vent or a water bottle on tow, he can kite up, we call it, kite. In other words, pitch up, which immediately takes the tail of the tow plane up and the nose down. Mm. We have about one fatality of tow pilots a year, tow pilots. We have a lot of incidents where one, either the tow plane or the glider, release the rope. Either one can release the rope. And I wrote the book, The Tow Pilot Manual, the only book in the United States about flying the tow plane, published by Bob Wander's Soar Books, soarbooks.com. It's in its seventh printing, and it's a way to train tow pilots to be aware of what the glider pilot can do to you. And so we're very strict when we brief a glider pilot here. Do not divert from normal tow position directly behind the tow plane and just above the tow plane's wake. It puts out a wake like a boat. Mainly it's the prop wash, the downwash of the wings, and, of course, the wingtip vortices. But if they get fiddling with things on tow, which is usually the reason people kite and pitch the tow plane down, especially low altitude where the tow pilot doesn't have time to release and recover from the pitch down, you can stall an airplane with a glider kiting on you with your nose straight down, obviously. So we teach tow pilots, and I wrote the book for Bob Wander, a publisher, and I'm very strict about how when I tow people, and all tow pilots should know who they're towing and brief them on, you got to stay in normal tow. Do not fiddle with that water bottle or that radio. So a tow pilot, I want to say it's as dangerous as crop dusting, but it's just not so simple that you just tow them up. You can't fly too fast. Maybe you want the climb rate, but you're flying at pretty much the best rate to climb for the tow plane. And, of course, you have an air-cooled engine, so you're going to warm that engine going up, and when you come down, you got to keep power in to keep from shock cooling that same engine. So it's a lot of situational awareness and risk management to be a tow pilot.
I was going to ask, what are the requirements for an individual to be a tow pilot?
It's an FAR 61.69, and you can read my book. And I don't tell you how to fly a Pawnee or a Super Cub. I just tell you the aspects of towing from my years and years of towing. The requirements are at least 100 hours pilot command of an aircraft, of an airplane. That's a bare minimum, like all FARs. And, of course, we try to teach to proficiency, not to the minimum requirements.
Right.
The FAA can't put a quantity on proficiency, so they make the minimums, and they're bare minimums, honestly. But for towing, you have to have another tow pilot check you out. It's an endorsement from that other tow pilot. It's the only endorsement a non-instructor can give. Of course, it could be an instructor. And, of course, every tow pilot, the initial endorsement lasts for 24 months. But in the initial, you go over the signals. We have a signals video, 18 air-to-air signals. There's two or three that are super important, like release now. And we check them out in a two-seat airplane and endorse them with that. And we go over simulating being pitched down by the glider, getting too high on you, and your immediate reaction must be you cannot try to save the life of the glider pilot. You must save your own life. I'm sorry to go negative on that, but
no.
There's a lot of incidents around the world where even in Europe, where the majority of their launches, a lot of people think it's by winch from the ground launch, but it's mostly aerotow. They're having issues where it comes back to, why did the guy get high on the glider pilot get high on the tow plane? I say it's training. We have to keep pounding on that situation awareness and the delicate position that you have to keep the glider in behind the tow plane, which is putting out a wake. So, okay. Tow pilots, it's a great way to build time. It's best if you also give a glider rating so you get an idea of the system. In fact, to get the tow pilot initial endorsement, you have to get glider training. The FAA doesn't specify how much, but what we do is we put the potential tow pilot in the front seat of the two-seat glider and show him all the signals and make some turns and see how challenging it can be for the glider pilot if the tow pilot is overbanking or flying too fast. You got to be smooth to be a tow pilot.
You had mentioned that George Wiley was up 6 hours. What is the longest amount of time that you've been up in a glider?
7 hours and 9 minutes back in Miami years ago. My dad called me from the ground and says, son, it's getting dark down here. And I was up there where the sun was still on the horizon. And, of course, we must land the glider at sunset or before.
Mm-hmm.
And some guys stay up after sunset. They land back, and I say, you know, that FAA guy was standing here, they would not be happy about you landing after sunset. And they would say, well, no, nighttime starts an hour. I said, that's for logging time. You have to turn on your position lights at sunset. And with no generator, we don't have position lights on out there. Unless we're a motor glider, and that's a whole different, almost more of an airplane than it is glider.
Bert, we're going to take a break, and we will continue our conversation with Bert Compton, rock and roll kind of guy, drummer for the Bert Compton Band, lead-in band for a lot of the big-name groups that we all remember, including Led Zeppelin and Grand Funk and others that he mentioned. You're listening to The World, but he's a glider pilot, and a very experienced glider pilot. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington, at the crossroads of 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Has your work-life balance taken a toll by working from home? The Eden 100 building has exactly what you need to reestablish your work-life balance. Affordable office leases available immediately in a private office setting. The Eden 100 building will provide you an opportunity to separate your 9-to-5 from the family and get back into a healthy routine. Conveniently located off Eden Avenue and Highway 100. For details and showings, contact property management at 952-767-0327. That's 952-767-0327.
In today's world, time is precious, and Thunderbird Aviation is here to save it by offering world-class charter services for you to avoid planning an entire travel day for a two-hour flight. Skip the airport trips and long security lines by chartering a flight to your next family or business destination. Thunderbird's charter flights allows you to avoid crowded airports and adjust your departure. Visit ThunderbirdAviation.com to request a quote or email charter at ThunderbirdAviation.com today.
Warning! 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 Once you taste the Rack Shack's Patriot Burger, other burgers will never measure up.
Hey, I'm Nick Anderson, General Manager of AM 1280 The Patriot, and we've partnered with my friend Keith Hittner Sr. from the Rack Shack Barbecue to create a burger worthy of the Patriot name.
It's a half-pound burger that's red, white, and blue through and through. American cheese on top, and the American flag proudly waves over the bun. The Patriot Burger comes with your choice of any of our delectable sides, like our famous hand-cut fries, all just for $12.80.
Best burger in town as far as I'm concerned, and it's $12.80 anytime, any day. Try today at the Rack Shack Barbecue at the Cedar Cliff Center at Nichols and Cliff in Eagan.
Be careful. Once you try a Patriot Burger, you may never go back to a regular burger.
That's the Rack Shack Barbecue at RackShackBarbecue.com.
Get that Rack Shack attack. Rack Shack Barbecue.
The aviation industry is hiring, meaning there is no time like the present to start your career in aviation. This is Al Malmberg. Academy College supports you while you make your dreams come true. Earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business, IT, or aviation. Choose career-specific courses that enhance your knowledge in your chosen field. If aviation is your calling, enroll in the Commercial Pilot, Aviation Management, or the only FAA-approved dispatch course in the entire state of Minnesota. Academy College makes the college transition easy. You have the flexibility to attend courses in person or virtually to fit your schedule. Academy College offers small class sizes, hands-on instruction, and a competitive atmosphere to ensure you graduate as a true competitor in the marketplace. Live up to your potential, reach your dreams, and do it all with Academy's support. Start by emailing admissions at academycollege.edu or call 952-851-0066. Next quarter begins October 3rd.
You're listening to The World of Aviation. Bert Compton is our guest. Bert, you had mentioned that the longest time that you were up in the glider. What is the farthest distance you've gone in a glider?
Oh, only about 375 miles. You know, I've dedicated my life to you know, flight instruction, but I did some cross countries here in Texas back in the day. And that 375 miles is nothing. They've exceeded 2,000 miles going up and back on the Sierra Nevada. Also down in Chile, you've got the Perlin project going for altitude, but other glider pilots have gone quite long distances using the effects of the polar vortex down there in the southern hemisphere and running. Mm-hmm. If you could get on a mountain, a line of mountains that are perpendicular to the wind aloft, you don't have to circle. There'll be an updraft that goes quite high, just like the waves, and you can just... The idea, if you want to go cross-country in the glider, you try not to circle. So you do circle up the thermal, and then you go and try to bump underneath the clouds, possibly just pulling up underneath the cloud in the updraft and then continuing on. That's how the races are done. Racing pilots are very, very good at trying not to waste time and get around the course. Typically a triangular course or an up and back. You might go from Owl Canyon up to Cheyenne and down to Colorado Springs, the glider port that's out, High Flights, I think it's called, out there east of Colorado Springs. And you can do it out and back, a very skinny triangle or a big typical equilateral triangle, you know what I mean.
Yes.
And whoever puts in the top speed gets 1,000 points for the day. The next guy gets 902, and the next guy all the way down the list. And so after about 8 days of competition, whoever has the cumulative most points of the contest wins the national championship and a possible seat on the world championship teams. Sometimes the world championships in Australia, over in Europe. The very first world championships in the United States was held in 1970 at Marfa, Texas. Down
really?
Here by the wow. Big Bend National Park and the surrounding Davis Mountains. We are not flatland out here. We do not have any oil at Marfa. We have a huge aquifer of water. It's a grassland desert, no cactus. It's a beautiful place, and sometimes people drive west out of Dallas on the flatlands. They hit this area, and I think they've made it to Arizona, perhaps. But it's a beautiful country, and the highest mountain is 8,400 feet in us.
I've been to Texas, maybe 3 times, and I was amazed at how lush and green it is around Nacogdoches, Tyler Longview. How far are you from those areas? Because it's lush green in those areas.
Yes, we're 500 miles. Marfa is in the southwest corner, 500 miles southwest of Dallas, 600 miles due west of Houston, and about 200 miles southeast of El Paso. And that's why Marfa dew point front. You ever heard of the dry line? It's where the Gulf air meets the drier air of northern Mexico and New Mexico. And that collision of air creates the dry line, which works north, and that turns into Tornado Alley in Kansas and all the way up into Illinois. If you see it on the chart, you see it as a distinct front type thing. It moves slowly east during the day. And that was discovered back during World War II when there was a huge Army airfield here that trained bombardiers and navigators. But the dew points in the morning were super, super low compared to what they were a couple hundred miles east. And the guys in Washington, D.C. say, yeah, you're doing it all wrong. They come out here and find out, yes, indeed, it's much drier here. And that dry means higher cloud bases when we have our thermals.
Bert, just another quick question for you. With all your experience, if someone is listening right now and they're thinking, you know, I think I'd like to try this glider soaring stuff, what advice do you have for them? How can they start? What do you recommend?
Yes, there's a lot of information on that, on how to learn to fly the glider, on the Soaring Society of America website, ssa.org, www.ssa, for Soaring Society of America.org. And there's information there on how to get into it. There's also a where-to-fly map where, you know, say you're in your neck of the woods or out in the eastern part of the country. You click on that state, and by golly, it'll show you the glider clubs and commercial flight schools There's a big difference between a commercial flight school like me. We're in the business of getting people trained up and the check ride completed. A transition pilot, say from airplanes, only needs 10 solo flights and 3 hours of dual. Again, FAA Part 61 minimum requirements.
Right,
very
right,
few
right.
are able to do that. But again, we train to proficiency, and people say, "Oh, it must be cheap." Well, the tow plane is expensive, and the pilot is expensive, and of course, your glider instructor and the glider itself rental. So initially, in the initial training, you could probably add the glider category rating for about $4,000. Your speed might vary depending on how much you read the textbooks I recommend and the training that you get. If you come out once a week or once a month, you're not going to get far, just like airplane flying. You need to get on the books, get on the videos, and come out as much as possible. So people come out here for about 2 weeks, and I usually get them up to speed so they can pass a check ride. It's an FAA practical test standards for gliders, private, commercial, and CFI. So, it's the toughest question you ask any instructor. Airplanes, balloons, helicopters, whatever. How much time will it take and how much will it cost? And it's like, we'll know after 2 days, and that's all I can say.
Yeah. I've got a feeling when Captain Sullenberger put the Airbus 320 into the Hudson River, I've got a feeling you were following that with great fascination. Could Sully have done that if you had not been an experienced glider pilot?
He was a darn good pilot. I listened to his autobiography. Fascinating growing up near, I believe, Benton, Texas, flying Champs and Cubs and just coming up that way. Ended up at the Air Force Academy, which has basically the world's largest glider school.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there three
yep.
doing it by their invitation to do a site survey and help them evaluate their safety and training. But he was on the glider team there and the glider instructor. Reading the book, he had not done much glider flying since the academy years and years ago. However, he was a basic aviator coming from tail draggers and gliders and simple airplanes versus the fast track school at famous name flight schools that will say we can get you the ATP and you can get a job with the airlines. And I hate to say it, but there's not a lot of aviation background and very shallow depth of knowledge. Sully had that. And when you watch mm-hmm. that video, just like landing a glider, because the wings are long and fairly close to the ground, those wings were dead level when he touched the Hudson.
Yeah.
And, of course, if they
yep.
hadn't, he might have cartwheeled. But dead
yep.
level,
yep.
just like a glider landing. And I could just imagine in my mind, he looked around, saw that big stretch of silver water and said, that's what I got to put it there.
Yeah.
And the movie was okay, but the book is fascinating.
Yeah.
Just with basic aviator skills, aeronautical knowledge, just heads-up flying is what I call it.
Now, do you have at Marfa Glider School, do you have a website that people can check out?
Flygliders.com. www.flygliders, all one word, .com.
One last question. What do you find more medicinal, playing the drums or going up in a glider?
Well, I've retired from playing, although I have a music studio here. I'm looking at it here in my home with my guitars and my piano and my electronic drum set, so don't bother the neighbors. But flying, you just get up there and it's total concentration on what you're doing. You can have problems at work or at home and
yeah.
what have you, but you get up there just like sailing a sailboat. You're 100% focused on what you're doing. And obviously,
I couldn't agree more.
The scenery and the joy of it all, it's perfect. It's just perfect.
Bert, I've got to cut you off. Hold on. I'm going to talk to you off air. This hour has flown by, and thank you for joining us this morning. And again, we'll talk to you off air. Bert Compton, our guest, and gliding is fun. It truly is. You've been listening to The World of Aviation. Bert Compton was our guest. The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation with two locations, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport.
Salmon fishing in Alaska at an amusement park in Green Bay.
or taking a stroll through Loring Park.
We're where you are.
Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
Are you tired of bouncing over your sunken apron into your garage, shoveling snow off an uneven driveway, or stubbing your toe on your uneven sidewalk? Hi, I'm John Lamore, owner of Expert Concrete Raising. We can fix your settled concrete with a more permanent solution than mud jacking. Expert Concrete Raising uses a high-density polyurethane foam. It doesn't deteriorate, shrink, or wash away over time. Get it done right the first time. For a free estimate, contact the second-generation concrete raising business at ExpertConcreteRaising.com. That's ExpertConcreteRaising.com.
Don't get lost in the endless stream of misleading headlines. Turn to a leading source of conservative news. Townhall.com. Political cartoons.
Thoughtful commentary.
And an intelligent perspective on the day's headlines. Townhall.com.
A division of Salem Media.
AM 20.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.